just want to unmic myself. You want one?
I've got one. Okay, morning. What I'd like to do is just do a quick snapshot on GECAS and the airline finance industry, a bit on the market environment and what initiatives we're working on. In terms of the business, look, we've been doing leases since the early 1960s. We think we have a pretty strong business model in terms of global network, in terms of fleet scale, and then in terms of broad product base and you know, strong funding. I'll get into some of the products later. In terms of our team, it's a veteran team. Many customers, decades of relationships, strong at hardware knowledge and also in financial structuring skills as well, and then risk management. And you see our financial performance, while there have been some ups and downs, it's been consistent over a long time. And last year we made about $1.2 billion on $49 billion of assets. This is just a bit of our network. We have 25 offices across the globe. 11 serve emerging markets. You'll see in green we opened up a couple new offices in Africa, one in Cape Town to service the Southern Cone in East Africa, and then one in Accra to service West Africa. Emerging markets is where all the growth is. In terms of our product base, I mean, we do narrow bodies, wide bodies, freighters. We've been active in regional jets. And the new thing that we announced yesterday is we're looking at the, we entered into the turboprop space. And in terms of financings, we do the sale-leasebacks, we do the debt. We're probably one of the most active sellers of aircraft, around probably do a couple billion a year. And then we're also one of the largest managers of aircraft. I think we have about 300 to 400 aircraft. And then in terms of services, we're large engine lessor. And we're also leading used airframe parts distributor. And then we're also in the airport space. We've got a firm that does consulting services in Europe, and also an airport investor. We've got a venture with Credit Suisse where we've invested in some airports. This is London City, and also they've been an investor in Gatwick in London. In terms of a bit of an industry snapshot, I mean, it's airline businesses, cyclical, broad credit spectrum, but the good news is our aircraft, it's portable collateral, long-lived assets, and it's air transport's a fundamental industry to, you know, any economy. And also it's benefiting from the whole secular emergence of the global and consumer base. And you'll see it's cyclical, and what you have to do is adjust your strategy accordingly. You know, buy, finance more during the downturn, try to manage the portfolio at the same time, and then during the upcycle, try to place orders that you've done and try to sell more as well if you can. In terms of the market environment, look, it's recovered, but it's a two-geared recovery. In the emerging markets, typically traffic is growing 2 to 3 times GDP. Asia and Africa appear to be pretty strong. Middle East, because of the turmoil, it's struggling a little bit. And Latin America and Russia are consolidating markets. You'll probably know about Lon Chile and TAM and Avianca and Taka. Same thing's going on in Russia with Airfly. The developed markets, the traffic growth is slower, 0.5 to 1 times GDP typically. But, you know, load factors are quite high. Yields have improved. I think the North American market's probably due for some refleeting as well. And you also see, as I mentioned, there's some mergers going on and there's spread of global alliances. The concerns are that's facing everybody, which is fuel, deleveraging in the developed markets and inflation in the emerging markets and fighting inflation. Production, as you know, is at record rates, and a lot of technology shifts going on in RJ and turbos. It's basically led by ATR and Embraer, though there's multiple OEMs. Everyone's heard about the Neo now and what's going on with Boeing, but there's also the C-Series and C919 in that space. And then as you get into the wide-body sector, there's the 787, what Boeing will do with the Dash 10. There's the 330s still going okay. And then you've got the whole 777 versus 350 situation, and then the large planes in 748s and 380s, even though the 748s really a 400-seater, the 380s a 500-plus-seater. In our leasing industry, there's been multiple entrants coming in the last couple of years, and then the reemergence of the traditional players, both in leasing and that the new players are principally PE-backed firms or Asian financial institutions. And then the traditional players, what's happening is they're starting to reorder a bit. The bank and bond spreads have come in a bit, though, because of Basel and things like that. I'm not sure they'll tighten much further. And then EXIM and the ECAs are still active as well. In terms of the initiatives, look, I've got seven. Probably the best thing is just to turn right to each of the initiatives. First is to continue to do attractive financings. Pre-crisis, there were probably about two ROI types of deals. Post-crisis, for a period, it was 4 to 5 returns, so quite attractive. Because of spreads coming down, because of new entrants, it's probably in the three range. Good news is I'm not sure it'll go down much further because a lot of our competition is funded by banks. So unless banking spreads go down, hopefully structurally you'll stay in the high 2-3 ROI range. I mean, we obviously benefit from G Capital cost of funds. And, you know, basically we focus on the larger deals where, you know, we've got more scale. We focus a lot on speed and execution. Certainly two of those deals, actually, we lost both, but because the competitors couldn't come get to the end zone, we won them both back. I was tempted to raise price, but we didn't. and then S7 was it's a Russian airline. It's One World Alliance member out of Domodedovo, and it's just an example of that. We're not just sale leaseback, but we're a major lender and also an engine lessor as well. So we do engine leasebacks for the CFM product. Emerging markets has been our story for the last few years. It's roughly $28 billion of assets committed. It's been growing double digit, although it's maturing just because we've had such rapid growth. And probably 70% of our activity in terms of placements and asset sales as well has been in the emerging markets. And what we're trying to do is some of the financings are probably 40%. So we're trying to do more financings in the emerging markets. And I think but each region you've got to adjust your strategy. I mean, China, we used to just call on the airlines. There's a big cargo expansion play there. So things like 777s may make sense there. There's also, as David mentioned, there's COMAC. So we've, as I talk about later, we've made a small commitment there. And then there's also the banks that we've been working with, selling them assets, people like CDB and ICBC. And then Africa, on the other hand, so China is sort of a more long-time emerging market. Africa is sort of the last frontier for aviation. We already have a couple $1 billion committed. We're in 13, 14 countries, but there's 50-plus there. So that's why we decided to localize there and staff up there. We've already had some success, placed a couple 777 freighters recently with Ethiopian cargo, some used 320s. It's that type of market. You got to go onesie, twosie, and before you know it, you have a pretty large fleet there. You know, the big story, I think, of the near term is going to be replacement of the North American fleet. There's over 2,000 U.S. leads in the market share in terms of used kit of classics and MD-80s, 75, 76. So I think you're going to see a refleeting as the financials are better. Now you're going to see a refleeting, and if fuel stays high, that's another reason for them to refleet. In terms of our order stream, look, we use orders to, you know, we do fleet rollovers and enables assets that you can sell, and then you add to the customer, you know, new customer base and things like that. Last year we ordered 100 narrow bodies at Farnborough. In green is sort of what we've done since then. We signed up MOU for up to 10 C919s. I did that at the Zhuhai Air Show. And then yesterday we ordered 60 NEO planes. And just we did a little top up on on Embraer, but ideal here is to get into some of the new narrow body streams. In terms of the wide body book, I said last year, I mean, we've only got about 20% of our book there, so we're underweighted. Wide body world fleet is in the 30s, and so we can grow it two ways. One is through financings of different types, or we can order. So since last year, we've ordered a dozen 330s, largely placed. I think we have a couple left. And then we ordered 10 777s in first quarter. And this is sort of breaking news. It hasn't broken yet, actually, but we're going to announce after lunch a MOU for 8 777s and Boeing's new 748 freighter, highly efficient plane, powered by four of David's Zenex engine, so an exciting product there. So we've been really sort of expanding in wide bodies. We don't want to go too much. I mean, we don't even want to go to the world fleet level, but I think there's room for some expansion for us. We're again, because of our credit standing and longevity, it's sort of a natural for us to play in this space. In terms of some of the adjacencies, this is sort of fun. I mean, the turboprop order that we made yesterday. Well, I've gotten much more feedback than that than our Neo order, so it's sort of fun. What we'd like to do is we actually manage and we finance these things over the years, so we've always sort of played from a financier standpoint. But yesterday we said, why don't we place an ATR order, and so we'd like to grow the book. I mean, this is the type of space we just don't like that one. If we want to play, we want to play, and so ideal is to grow the book here. It's if you look at ATR's operating base, it's driven by emerging markets. So if you want to be serious about Africa, you have to play with turboprops, not just jets. If you look at the replacement need there, it's enormous. I mean, 20 years is sort of young for sometimes in that fleet. So there's a lot of replacement needs upcoming. And in that 500 and under nautical mile space, nothing comes close to a turboprop. I mean, it's probably over 40% more fuel efficient than jets in that space. So this is a interesting area. We'll see what David does in this space eventually. So it may position us for GE system plays too in the future. And then also we've had an engine leasing business for a bunch of years. It makes a little bit over $100 million now. They're the leading engine parts financier. And as I said, they also, we take planes from our own portfolio, break them up, and so they're a leading airframe distributor there. We do lease and debt financings. We do our own portfolio, but also when you do these trade-outs, a lot of airlines, it's not quite the used car lot, but a lot of airlines say, fine, I'll take your new gear, but can you take care of my old gear? And so these folks help us on fleet rollovers as well, manage some of the customer product pools. And we're looking at some other, we've had good success working with this area, and we've sort of said, like, maybe we should look at other parts of GE, maybe locomotives, maybe aeroderivative engines for distributed power, and maybe we can bring the same sort of rental applications here. A lot of them, the distributed power markets are in emerging markets. And so this is sort of something that we're looking at broadly speaking. It could be an exciting area for growth for us. The point of this slide is that we've managed different transitions of fleet types over the years, stage two, the stage three classics, then to new gens, and then what's next, Airbus to Airbus Neo. Good news in our space is that it's not like an iPad 2 market. I mean, you've got a bunch of years to anticipate things. And the way we sort of look at it, you've got to look at it at different angles. We can lease the planes. We can sell the planes consistently, so you're always refreshing your fleet. Once they get about 15 years old, you can cargoize. Then we've been active doing 737-400 with the Chinese Postal Service, people like TNT, keep the CF engines up in the air as well. And then also we've been using our teardown capabilities. We've been active parting out planes when they get up to sort of high teens, 20 years as well. And then what we do is, as a large engine lessor, a lot of the value is in the engines. So we refurb them and put them out as on rent as well. So that's sort of the way we play. It's full life cycle management. I think we're pretty unique in this space in terms of our focus over many years managing the portfolio this way. And then we always keep an eye on our roll-off and portfolio mix. We work hard to keep the AOGs under 5. That's a little bit challenging every now and then when there's a medium-sized bankruptcy, but we've successfully kept the AOG under 5 for multiple quarters. You know, we're sort of one in a up cycle, we're sort of 1 or 0. I don't want to go too low, and it's just, this is just a lot of hard work weekly operating processes in terms of looking at roll off, looking at watch lists, collections, things like that, and that's just a lot of block and tackling. And our skyline's pretty well placed for next year, and you know, we've got to work more on for this year we've got to work more on a little bit more work to do on 12 and really focus on 13. We always like getting ahead of the curve. And in terms of portfolio mix, we're largely a narrow body shop. I mean, and this sort of shows like we've got some scope for wide body growth. We, over the years, we've also grown strongly into Asia, Latin America, Middle East, Africa, CIS. So it's almost 47 versus 30%. And then finally, in terms of product mix, we've been focused more on op leases and loans, less of the old finance lease product. That's shrunken from 16 to about 12% and consistently rolling off. So basically, in that nutshell, you know, we're a major player with a broad network, multiple products, and we've got a whole bunch of different activities going to try to sustain our business over time. So with that, I'll open up for questions. Dave and I will. David, you wanna?
Yeah.
I see a sea of hands too. So
go ahead. You can answer the first one.
Cliff, do you wanna?
Cliff Ransom, Ransom Research. Norm, we've been talking for an awful long time about the refleeting of the North American legacy carriers. And